We continue Bezot Hashem in our Limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Lamed Zayin. We'll begin on the bottom line of Lamed Vav Amud Bet, towards the end of the line. Rami le Rav Papa Bar Shmuel le Rav Yosef. This Limud is Leilui Nishmat Shelomo ben Simcha, Baruch ben Shelomo, Shelomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, לדיסיה בת יעקב, צוליקה בת חנה, אסתר בת לדיסיה, את הרבקה בת מרדכי, רבקה בת דבורה, אבא שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר, חווה בת שרה, אין לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום. אוסו לזכות רפואה שלמה, פרלי שבע בת נטע, גבריאלה מסעודה בת שרה, אין חנה בת סוליקה. Over here the Gemara is discussing, in the middle of discussing, the שיטה of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, as explained by Rabbi Yochanan in the beginning of the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a shvuya, a woman who is held captive, remains in her state of tahara, and she has a chazakah of betula, a presumptive status of a betula. So Rami le Rav Papa Bar Shmuel le Rav Yosef. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel asked a contradiction on this to Rav Yosef. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda b'kedushata kaima? Is it so that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a shvuya remains in her state of kedusha, and we don't say that she was for sure violated and niv'al? V'hatanya, but we learned in a braita. Hagiyoret shenitgaira v'ra'ata dam, a woman that converted, a female convert who converted, and on that same day, she saw dam of nida. Rabbi Yehuda omer daya sha'ata. Rabbi Yehuda says that we go according to her hour right now. What does that mean, daya sha'ata? We go according to her hour right now. If now that we know that she is tameh, that she saw dam nida, so therefore any truma or taharot that she touched from the time that she saw and on, that is tameh. But we don't make anything that she touched beforehand tameh. We don't say that, well, maybe she was already a nida before. No. Daya sha'ata. From the moment she saw and on. Rabbi Yossi omer, harei kechol anashim. Rabbi Yossi says, the giyoret is like the halakha by all women. And what's the halakha by all women? Umetamea me'et le'et, umipkida lipkida. She is metameh, she transmits tum'ah retroactively, me'et le'et, for a 24-hour period, or from pekida lipkida, from one examination to another examination, which means from the last time she examined, she checked herself. Which means like this, Rabbi Yossi says that if she saw dam nida, then we go back 24 hours, anything she touched within the past 24 hours, or anything she touched till the last time she checked herself, even if it's less than 24 hours, is tameh. But before that, we say that it is taho. Then the Braita continues and tells us another halakha. Utzricha lehamtin shelosha chodashim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The female convert has to wait 3 months after her conversion before she marries a Jew, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because of the concern that maybe she is pregnant from someone before she became a convert, and therefore that would lead to confusion whether the child that was conceived was before or after her conversion. Therefore, she has to wait 3 months and only then get married, so then we will know clearly when she is pregnant whose child it is. Rabbi Yossi matir le'ares velinase miyad. Rabbi Yossi, however, permits her to immediately get married, which means, what do we see over here? That Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that she engaged in sexual relations before she was converted, and that's why she has to wait 3 months. So we see that this is a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. On one hand, you're telling me Rabbi Yehuda holds that a shvuya, a woman who's held in captivity among the goyim, we don't say that she was for sure violated. She remains in her cheskat betula. And here we see a non-Jewish lady who converts. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that maybe up until then she had relations and therefore she has to wait 3 months. Isn't this a contradiction? Amarle, so Rav Yosef told Rav Papa Bered de Shmuel, Rav Yosef told him, Amarle, giyoret ha-shvuya karamit. Are you asking a contradiction from the halakha of a giyorit, of a convert, to the halakha of shvuya, of a captive woman? There's a big difference. Giyorit lo menatra nafsha. A convert does not protect herself beforehand from engaging in relations before she converts. Whereas shvuya menatra nafsha, a captive, she protects herself. She's conscious of the kedusha, of the fact that she is a Jew, and she doesn't want to be violated. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to Shvuya, holds that she has a cheskat betula, whereas by Giyorit, it's not so. But the Gemara says, V'rami Shvuya Ashvuya. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel showed that there is a contradiction from one halakha of Shvuya, of a captive woman, to another one. Detanya, as we learned in the Braita, it says, HaGiyorit V'Shvuya V'Hashivcha. A convert, a captive woman, and a shivcha, maidservant, shenifdu, that was redeemed, veshenitgayru, that was converted, veshenishtacheru, that was liberated, yeterot al benot shalosh shanim v'yom echad, older than 3 years and 1 day, tzrichot leamtin shelosha chodashim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. All those three have to wait 3 months before they get married. Rabbi Yossi matir learez velinase miyad, Rabbi Yossi permits them to get married immediately. Oh! What do we see here? Shivcha and Shvuya. Shvuya shenifdu, that she was redeemed. From the time that she is redeemed, she has to wait 3 months before she gets married. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that means Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that she had relations before when she was a Shvuya. This is a direct contradiction on what you're telling me, that he holds a Shvuya has a cheskat betula. Ishtik. When Rav Yosef heard this question, he was silent. He was unable to respond. Amarle midi shmi alach beha. So later on, Rav Yosef said to him, "Did you hear anything regarding this question? Is there any way to resolve it?" Amarle, he told him, "Hachi amar Rav Sheshet." Rav Sheshet says, "Shera'u hashenivala." In that braita where Rabbi Yehuda says she has to wait 3 months, it's referring to a case where a captive woman, a shvuya, shera'u ashenivala, that witnesses saw that she engaged in relations. That's why she has to wait 3 months. Well, if that's the case, ihachi maitama de Rabbi Yossi, then what would be the reasoning of the psak of Rav Yossi that he allows right away for her to get married and not to wait? If we have edim that she did engage in relations, so then why should she not wait for 3 months? Amar Rabba, Rabba says that's not a question. Kasava Rabbi Yossi holds isha mezana meshameshet bemuch. A woman who engages in promiscuous relations, she is meshameshet bemuch. She has relations with a contraceptive absorbent that she puts in her, so that she will absorb the zera, and it will not shelotit aber, it will not make her pregnant. So the Gemara asks, Bishlama giyoret. Okay, I understand by a convert that she would use a moch. Kevan de datali giyure menatra nafsha. Since she's anticipating, she has the intention to eventually convert, so she's protecting herself from pregnancy. Shvuya nami delo yada hecha mamtula. Also, by the shvuya, by the case of the captive, she uses the moch, the absorbent, because she doesn't know where they're taking her, and therefore she doesn't want to become pregnant. Shivcha nami deshamami pimara. A maidservant also will use it because she heard from her master that he intends to free her, and therefore she doesn't want to have any confusion with regards to her lineage of her children, so therefore she would use the contraceptive. Ela yotza b'shen ve'ayin ma'ika le'meima. But what about a shivcha that was liberated because her master either took out her tooth or her eye? As we know, that a shivcha is yotzet lachovshi b'shen ve'ayin. She goes out to freedom in a case where the master took out her tooth or her eye. So in that case, there was no advanced knowledge that she's going to be freed. So she would not take any precautions in that case to avoid becoming pregnant. And Rav Sheshet explained that this is a case where she was seen engaging in sexual relations. So in that case, the question would be, why is it that Rabbi Yossi permits her to get married immediately? She should have to wait for 3 months. V'chi teima kol mimela, lo amar Rabbi Yossi,
And if you'll answer that Rabbi Yossi, in any situation that occurs mimela on its own without any advanced knowledge, such as Yotzet Beshen Ve'ayin, Rabbi Yossi would agree to Rabbi Yehuda, right? And he would not say that she's allowed to marry immediately. Rather, he would agree that you have to wait 3 months. Well, Hare Anusa Umfuta de Mimela. Well, we have the case of Anusa, a raped woman, or Mefuta, a seduced woman. That's something that is Mimela. It happens on its own without any advanced knowledge. And yet, Vetanya, we learned in a Braita, Anusa Umfuta Tzichot Lamtin Shelosha Chodashim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, she has to wait 3 months before she gets married. After what happened, Rabbi Yossi matil ares verina semiyad, and yet Rabbi Yossi still, even in this case, allows her to get married immediately. So we're back to the question: why is it? How is it that he allows her to get married immediately? Obviously, she didn't anticipate this to happen, so she didn't take any precautions in this case of taking a contraceptive, and therefore, why is he allowing her immediately to get married? Ela amaraba. Rather, Rabba says, in explanation of Rabbi Yossi, Kasava Rabbi Yossi isha mezana mitapechet kede shelo titaber. Rabbi Yossi holds that a woman who's engaging in promiscuous relations, she turns over at the conclusion of the act. She turns around in order that the zera should not go deep into her and she will not become pregnant. So therefore, even if she engaged in something that was mimela, that was not planned, but she can still take steps afterwards to prevent unwanted pregnancy. And that's why he says she can marry right away. Ve'idach. And what does Rabbi Yehuda respond to this? Chayshinan shema lo nevcha yafe yafe. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that maybe she didn't turn over properly. And some of the zera did in fact go into her and she can still become pregnant. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. Towards the end of the Mishnah said, where do we know that anyone who is mitchayev benafsho, who is liable for the death penalty, does not pay the monetary fine, does not pay the monetary payment? Shene'emar velo yason anosh yanesh. By the case in Parashat Mishpatim, of two people who are fighting, and he intends to hit someone else, and he ends up hitting a pregnant woman. So it says there, velo yason. If there's no ason, if there's no tragic harm, meaning there's no death, so there's no death penalty, anosh ya'anesh, so then he has to pay the monetary payment. Mashma, if ye'ason, if there is a death penalty, then he doesn't pay the monetary payment. So that's how we know that en adam metum shalem. The Gemara asks over here, veha mehacha nafka? Is this where we learn it from? Do we learn this halakha from this pasuk? Mehatam nafka, but we learn it from a different pasuk in Parashat Kitetze, regarding the Shaliach Bedin that gives malkut, that gives lashes to a person. So it says there, kederishato, in the singular, that he gives him he administers the punishment of malkut for his wickedness. Mishum risha achatata mechayvo, you only punish him for one sin. And we learn, you're not punishing him, you cannot hold him liable for two rishayot, for two sins in one act. So that's where we learn that en adam loke umshalem, or en adam met umshalem, not from velo yason anosh yanesh. Answers the Gemara, no, you need both. Chada b'mita umamon, v'chada b'malkut umamon. The pasuk of our Mishnah, velo yason, is needed to teach us that one who is liable for the death penalty does not pay the money. And the pasuk in Parashat Kitetzev, of Keder Ish'ato, teaches us that one who is liable for the punishment of Malkut does not pay the monetary payment. Utzricha. And we need both of them separately. Because if I would only know the teaching that en adam metum shalem, that the death penalty removes the penalty of money, mishum de'ika ibud neshama, since after all, there is a punishment that he loses his life at such a severe punishment, therefore we would say in that case it's enough that he gets such a severe punishment of losing his life, so he doesn't pay the money. Aval malkutu mamon de lekaibud neshama, but by the punishment of malkut, it's not as severe. He doesn't lose his life. Eimalo, I would say, it doesn't remove the monetary obligation. That's why I need the pasuk to tell me no, by malkut also. V'yashmuinan malkut u'mamon. And if it would only teach us by malkut and mamon that he doesn't pay, mishum, I would say, mishum de lo chamir isure. Since his avera, since the sin that he committed was not as severe, therefore, you know what? We just give him one punishment. Aval mitau mamon, but in a case where the sin was something that holds a death penalty, that means the sin itself, the chamir isure, is more chamur. Maybe in that case we're stringent with him, and we should even put on him the monetary payment as well. Eimalo, I would not say that he is exempt from the monetary payment. Tzricha, that's why I need the psukim, two separate psukim for each one. One for en adam met umshalem, and one for en adam loke umshalem. Asks the Gemara, Ule Rabbi Meir de Amar Loke Umshalem. Remember, the opinion of Rabbi Meir is that in the case where there is two liabilities, Malkut and Mamon, you get both of them. That's the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So according to him, Tarte Lamali. So now, how will he explain why do we need these two separate psukim? I understand the pasuk for En Adam Met Umshalem. But En Adam Loke Umshalem, he doesn't hold of that. So why do you need the other pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Chada b'mita u'mamon. One pasuk is to learn from it that en adam metum shalem, death penalty removes the monetary penalty. V'chada b'mita u'malkut. And one is to teach us when a person commits a sin that puts on him two liabilities, the death penalty and the liability to receive malkut. To teach me that you only give him the death penalty and not the malkut. Utzricha, and you need both psukim, according to Rabbi Meir. Dei ashmoinan mitau mamon, because if it would only teach us that when there is a death penalty, it removes the monetary penalty. Mishum dechada begufe vechada bemamone lo avdinan. Because I would say, you know what? We don't administer one punishment to his body and one punishment to his money. So that's two separate things. We don't do both. If you're going to punish his body, that's enough. You don't have to punish his money. But by the case where he's liable to both mita and malkut, death and malkut, where both of them are on his body, so I would say maybe it's an extended death penalty, and we should administer malkut and then give him the death penalty. It's all one connected extended punishment. That's why Rabbi Meir says, that's why I need the pasuk to tell me no, mita malkut. You only give him mita, not malkut. V'yashmuinan mita malkut, and the reverse as well. If the Torah would only tell me the halacha, that when there's both mita and malkut, the person only gets mita and not malkut, detarte begufe lo avdinan. I would say, you know why? Because two different punishments on one body, we don't do. Aval mita u'mamon, but the death penalty and the monetary penalty, dechada begufe, one is on his body, one is on his money. So maybe in that case, we do administer both. Eima na'avid be, let's administer both to him. Tzricha, that's why I need the pasuk to tell me, no, by mita and mamun as well, only mita and not mamun. Now the Gemara asks a question. We have another pasuk in the Torah, in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed He, where it says, ve'lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. And you should not take any monetary ransom for the life of a murderer. One who is guilty of death, you don't take kofir, you don't take money from him. Oh, it seems to be that the Torah is saying that en adam metum shalem, that a person does not get both liabilities, death and money. If he gets the death penalty, there is no monetary penalty. So then why do we need this pasuk? We already know it from the pasuk of Ve'im lo yason anosh yanesh. We learned it from that pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim. Why do we need the pasuk of the lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach? Lamali, it's teaching me the same thing. No, the Gemara answers, it's not teaching us that if someone is liable to both, he only gets one and not the other. The Amar Rachmana, what Hashem is saying in this pasuk is, lo tishkol mamona mine, don't take money from him, v'tiftere miktala, and exempt him from the death penalty. That's what the Torah is saying. Then maybe you'll think that if a person is chayav mita, he's obligated, he's liable in the death penalty, maybe, you know what, instead, just charge him $1 million and he'll get off the hook? No, the Torah is saying, v'lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. So this is not related to our discussion when a person is culpable of two liabilities. That's something else. That we learn from Veimlo Yason Anoshianish. The Gemara continues to ask from another pasuk. Over there, a pasuk that comes right after. Lo tikhu kofer lanus el ir miklato lamali. Why do we need the pasuk that says you should not take monetary ransom for the one who has to run away to galut, to the miklat? Someone who killed Bishogeg unintentionally, he has to go to be exiled to the ir miklat, to the city of refuge. So the Torah says, don't take ransom and have him run away to galut. Which once again sounds like the Torah is saying you don't give two punishments, galut and money. But we already know that you don't give two punishments from the other psukim. Answers the Gemara, same thing over here. This pasuk is telling us something else. Amar Achamana, Hashem is saying, Lo tishkol mamona mi neve tiftere min galut. When a person is obligated, when he is punishable by galut, meaning to go to the city of refuge, to the Il Miklat, don't take instead from him money and let him off the hook from going to exile. No, he has to go into the galut of the Il Miklat, and no money can replace it. So now the question is, utreikra elamali. So why do I need two psukim right there, one after the other, to teach me the same principle? I mean, you already told me that lo tikhu kofer lamut, right? That you should, lenefesh rotzeach, that you should not take money instead of giving him the death penalties. Why do you need to give me another pasuk that you should not take money instead of giving him the punishment of galut? Utreikra elamali, why do I need two psukim? Answers the Gemara, achad beshogeg, v'chad b'mezid. Both of them are necessary. One pasuk is telling me regarding someone who killed beshogeg, and the other pasuk is referring to someone who killed intentionally. And why do I need two separate pasukim for that? Utzrichi. They're both needed. Di'ashmuinan mezid, because if the Torah would only tell me by the case of where he killed intentionally, mishum dechamir isure, since his sin is very severe, where he killed intentionally, that's why the Torah says you cannot accept money from him to take the place of the punishment. Aval shogeg delach amir isure, but in the case where he killed unintentionally, where it's not as severe, eimalo, I would say not. I would say maybe in that case, if he gives you money instead, he can be off the hook. He won't have to go to the galut. That's why we need the pasuk to tell me no by shogeg also. V'yashmuinon shogeg, and if the Torah would only tell me by the case where he killed b'shogeg that you can't take money instead of the galut, mishum deleka ibud neshama, since after all he's not being executed, he's not losing his life, so therefore there's no reason to allow him to pay instead of exile. He has to go to exile, he has to go to the galut. After all, he's not losing his life. Aval mezid deika ibud neshama, but in the case where he killed intentionally, where there is a loss of life, he's going to be executed. Maybe instead of that, we should take ransom, we should take money. Eimalo tzricha. That's why I need the Torah to tell me in both cases the punishment of death penalty and the punishment of the galut of ir miklat cannot be replaced by money. Now the Gemara asks on the next pasuk there that seems also to be redundant. It says, "Ve'la'aretz lo yechupar ladam asher shupach ba ki im bedam shofecho," and there will not be any atonement for the blood that has been shed for the murder, ki im bedam shofecho, only by executing the murderer himself. Lamali. Why do we need this pasuk? It seems that the pasuk is telling me that you should not take any money ransom in place of the death penalty. We already saw that from the pasuk before. It says, "Lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach." So why do I need the Torah again to say, "V'la'aretz lo yuchupar l'adam asher shupach bakim bedam shofecho"? It seems extra. Answers the Gemara, "Mi ba'ele lechi detanya." That pasuk is needed to teach me the halacha that we learned in the Braita. Minayin she'im nit'arfa egla. See, here's the case by Egla Arufa. The Torah told us that if, let's say, a dead body, a corpse, was found, and the murderer is unknown, and it was found between two cities, so the zekenim of the city that is nearest the dead body has to bring a Egla, a heifer, a calf, and le'orfa banachal, and to behead it
by the river banks. So then afterwards they pray for kapara from Hashem for the murder. So the halakha is here in the Braita, the Braita says, let's say after they already were orif the egla, they already beheaded the egla. And what happened? They found the killer. How do we know that we don't exempt him from punishment? You might think, well, now already the ceremony of Igla Rufa with the Tfilah was done. So that's it. The kapara was achieved. So maybe it's not necessary now to punish the murderer and to give him the death penalty. How do we know that's not the case? That he does not become exempt. He still has to be sentenced to death. Shene'emar, that's what we learn from this pasuk. V'la'aretz lo yechupar la'adam asher shupach ba ki'im bedam shofecho, which means the atonement is not achieved even with the egla arufa. Once we know who the murderer is, the punishment of the death penalty has to be carried out. And now finally, the Gemara asks on another pasuk, v'ata teva'er hadam anaki mikirbecha lamali. The pasuk says, you shall remove any innocent blood that has been spilled in your midst, which means it seems that the Torah is teaching us the same halakha, that once again a murderer has to be executed. Why do we need another pasuk for this? It's needed for that which was taught in a braita. From where do we know that regarding those who are executed by the sword, by saif, the halakha is murderers who are executed by bedin, they are killed besaif, by the sword. How do we know that it's done min hatzavar, from the neck and nowhere else? Talmud lomar, that's what we learn from the pasuk, ve'ata teva'er hadam hanaki mikirbecha, hukshu kol shofche damim le'egla arufa. All the halacha of the spillers of blood, of murderers, have been hukash, are learnt out, are compared to the case of Igla Arufa. Because this pasuk, Ve'ata Teva'er, Hadam Anaki V'Kirbecha, is written by the parasha of Igla Arufa. And it's written also always by Shofche Damim, by those who are murderers. So we learn from Igla Arufa something. Ma lehalan min hatzavar, just like the beheading of the calf is from the tzavar, is by its neck. Av Shofche Damim min hatzavar, so to the execution of the murderers is from the neck. Asks the Gemara, well, if you're comparing it to Igla Arufa, ima lehalan bekofitz umimul oref, well, just like over there in the case of Igla Arufa, the Igla is beheaded with a kofitz, with a cleaver, umimul oref, and in the back of the neck. So should we say afkan, should we say by the murderer also, when the bedin execute him, it should be bekofitz umimul oref? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuha. Rav Nachman says, in the name of Rabba Bar Avuha, no. Here is different. When it comes to executing the person who committed the sin, Amar Kra de Pasuk says, Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. You should love your fellow man as yourself. And we learn from that, Beror lo mitayafa. Choose for him a death that is respectful, that is agreeable. Which means it's asur, it's prohibited to abuse even a guilty person while you're executing him. And chopping his head off with a cleaver is not something that is respectful. And therefore, the murderer is beheaded from the neck, but not with a cleaver, not by any way of the ways that is used by the Igla Arufa, rather with a sword and from the neck, and that is the punishment of the Rotzeach. The Gemara continues to ask from another pasuk. It states in Parashat Bechukotai, Kol Herem Asher Yahoram Min Ha'adam Lo Yipadeh. The Gemara here is assuming that the word Kol Herem, Herem and Yahoram is a word that is used elsewhere in the Torah for people who are Chayav Mita, who are liable to be put to death, such as it says in the Pasuk in Mishpatim, Zoveach La Elohim Yahoram, one who offers up a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah, Yahoram is put to death. So the Gemara is assuming that when it says here, Kol Herem Asher Yahoram Min HaAdam, means anyone who is supposed to be put to death from Adam, from the human beings, Lo Yipadeh, cannot be redeemed. Meaning that you cannot receive ransom of money instead of the death penalty. Lamali, why do we need this pasuk? We already know it from the pasuk before of Lo tikhu kofer lenefesh otzeach. The Gemara says, from this pasuk, we also learn another halacha. We need this pasuk to teach us, minayin la yotze lehareg. How do we know, from where do we derive the halacha, with regard to someone who is taken, who is being taken out to be executed? Ve'amar echad erko alai. And another person said, as he's watching this person being taken out to be executed, he says, "Erko halai alai." His value is upon me to donate to the Beit HaMikdash. Minayin shelo amar klum. How do we know that he did not say anything? Meaning that his neder is not binding at all. Shene'emar kol herem asher yahora min ha'adam lo yipade. Which the Braita is understanding to mean that any kind of chere, meaning any kind of neder, of a vow that a person makes, asher yachora min ha'adam, that is through a person who is being condemned to death. And he is valuated in order to give something to Hekdesh, to give his value. So again, kol cherem asher yachora min ha'adam, when someone vows to give the value of someone who is yachora min ha'adam, who is being taken out to be executed, lo yipade. That is not something that can be redeemed, which means it's not a valid vow, because the person who's being taken out to be executed is already considered dead. He doesn't have any value. Yachol af kodem shenigmar dino ken. Shall we say the same halacha even before he is sentenced to death? Maybe before the verdict is issued, maybe in that case it's different. Do we say the same thing? That if you say erko alai before his verdict is issued, before he is sentenced, in that case also lo yipade. Talmud lomar min ha'adam velo kol ha'adam. We learn from the pasuk min ha'adam, from the men, but not all the men. Which means if it's an evaluation of an entire person, which means a person who was not yet sentenced to death, so then it is an eder, it is binding. But if it's min ha'adam, but if it's an evaluation of a person who's already a partial person, min ha'adam, he's not a full man anymore, he's already sentenced to death, in that case, that's when we say lo yipadeh. But if he says erko alai before nigmar dino, then it would be a valid neder. Uli Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, what about according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, who says, de'amar ne'erach mipeneshet damav ketsuvim? According to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, even a person who's taken out to be executed is also ne'erach, he's also evaluated. And if you say erko alai, it is a neder that is binding. Mipeneshet damav ketsuvim, because the money of his evaluation is fixed. The sum of the evaluation that is established in the Torah is not really based on the worth of that individual. Rather, it's a fixed sum that's determined by the age and the gender of the person. For this person, from this age to age, it's 30. From this person, it's 40. So therefore, a person could be evaluated as long as he's still alive, even if he is being taken out to execution. So according to him, to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, we don't learn this halacha from the pasuk of kol cherem asher yachora min ha'adam lo yipadeh. So hay kol cherem may avid le. So what does Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya learn from the pasuk of kol cherem? Mibayle lechid etanya. He needs it for the following halacha that we learned in the Braita. Rabbi Ishmael beno shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka omer. Rabbi Ishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka, says, lefi shematzinu lemumatim bidei shamayim. Shenotnim mamon umitkaper lahem. Since we find in those who are executed by mitabi de shamayim, who are punishable at the hand of heaven, not through bedin, we find that they can give money and their sin is atoned and they have kapara. Sheneemar im kofer yushat alav, as it says in the pasuk regarding a person whose shor, whose ox, killed another person. So that's the case of Shor HaNiskal. It says, Hashor Yisakel v'gam be'alav yumat. There's mitabi de shamayim, there's a punishment of death at the hands of heaven to someone whose ox went and killed someone. But then it says, im kofer yushat alav, but if there is a ransom that is laid upon him,
So then, if he gives the ransom, he becomes patur from death. So you see that by mitabi de shamayim, a person can give mamon, and he's mitkaper, instead of the mitah, instead of the death. Yachol af bide adam ken. So a person may think that even in regard to those who are liable to receive the death penalty at the hands of men, by bedin, maybe in that case also a person can give money and get off the hook from the death penalty. Talmud Lomar, that's why this pasuk says, Cherem min ha'adam lo yipadeh, which means a death penalty that is executed min ha'adam by man, such as bedin, lo yipadeh, cannot be redeemed with money. Ve'en li ela mitot chamurot, shelo nitna shigigatan lechapara. So I only know this restriction regarding prohibitions that are punishable by the severe penalties of death. Mitot chamurot, such as, let's say, in the case of if a person strikes one's father. There are cases such as this where they're so severe that Torah does not tell us what would be the penalty in the case of shegaga, in the case where it was done unintentionally. So I would say in that case it's so severe that it cannot be redeemed with money. But mitot kalot shenitna shegigatan nekapara, but less severe penalties of death, such as, let's say, for example, doing a melacha on Shabbat, shenitna shegigatan nekapara, where the Torah tells us if it's done bemezid, so then there's the death penalty of either karet or skila. But if it's done bishgaga, if a person is mechalel Shabbat bishogeg, the Torah tells us there is a korban chatat. So maybe in that case, even if it was done bemezid, a person can ransom himself with money. He can give money instead and be patur from the mitah, from the death penalty. Talmud lomar kol cherem. We learn from the extra word kol cherem, anything that is cherem, to include all the isurim that are punishable by mitat bedin, cannot be replaced with a payment of money ransom. However, the Gemara asks on this, but what do I need this pasuk to teach me then? Velo mimela milotikhu kofer shamat mina? Don't we learn it anyway from the pasuk of lotikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach? Remember, the pasuk says, by the case of the murderer, that he has to receive the death penalty and you cannot take money instead. Now, the case of the murderer is something that is nitan kapara b'shogeg. Because if, let's say, you murdered b'shogeg unintentionally, is there a kapara that the Torah tells us? Yes, going to the Ir Miklat, the Galut, right? So that's considered something that is mitot kalot shenitna shigigatan kapara. And you taught me already regarding the Rotzeach that we cannot accept a ransom of money instead of the death penalty. So kol cherem lamali? Again, velo mimela milotikhu kofer shamat mina? Don't we learn it from the pasuk already of lotikhu kofer, which the Torah tells us lotishkol mamona mineve tiftere? Do not take money from him and exempt him from the death penalty. Kol cherem lamali? So what do I need to learn it from this pasuk that we just said of kol cherem? Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama answers, it's terich, it's still needed. Salka datach, because I would have thought, hanimili, when do we say that one cannot pay money instead of being executed? Hecha deharago derech aliyah. That's when one, in a case where one intentionally killed the person in a derech aliyah, in an upward motion. In that case, shelo nitna shigigato lekapara. That, in that case, there is no atonement that was given for the, if it was done unwittingly, if it was done unintentionally. As the Gemara learns in Masechet Makot and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, we learn from a pasuk, Vayapel alav vayamot, that when is it that the Rotzeach who killed unintentionally goes to Galut of Ir Miklat? That's only if he killed him derech nefila, from top to bottom, which means in a way of downward motion. But for a killing that was done in an upward motion, then there is no galut of Ir Miklat. Oh, so therefore, I would have said that in the case of Haragot Derech Aliyah, when he killed in a way of upward motion, where it's not a case of Nitna Shigigato LeKapara, there is no, the Torah did not specify a kapara if it's done Bishgaga. So I would say, in that case, that's when it's so severe that there is that you cannot give a money ransom to be off the hook from the death penalty. But in the case where he killed in a downward motion, where there is, when it's done bishgaga, there is a way of achieving atonement in the case of shgaga, which is galut. So I would have thought maybe in that case he could give a money ransom in order to be patur. Kamashmalan, that's why I need the pasuk of kol cherem to teach me all cherem in any case of a death penalty at the hands of bedin, such as rotzeach, whether it's rotzeach derech aliyah or derech irida, it makes no difference. In both cases, no lo yipade, no money ransom can be given instead of the death penalty being administered by the Beddin.